Today, we are so lucky to have Brian Williams of Airbnb with us. And we are going to start quickly with a little word association, Brian. Fraud. What do you think?
Investigator.
Ooh, I like it. Ethics.
Gotta have it.
Oh, do you have a favorite TV detective?
Ooh, that's a good one. I like Jack Reacher, if he can be considered. I'll go with Jack Reacher.
Okay, cool. Okay. And then the sort of lightning round, are you Mac or PC?
Mac.
Oh, love it. Go Apple stock. PC was catching up for a bit there. Who makes better embezzlers, men or women?
Oh, this one's tough. I think I need to plead the fifth because I think it's so, you know, unique to each person's, you know, own skill set. So,
okay.
Yeah.
What is some of the best money you have spent recently, professionally or personally, that either helped you personally or in your career?
Yeah, I recently bought the book Rise, which is by a great, you know, female author. I think she was the youngest CEO at Hewlett Packard, and just really, really tactical, solid career advice that I wish I had had, you know, 10 years ago. That was great. Great buy.
Okay. Cool. Let's get started here with, I got to give a shout out to Brian because he is so organized. Now there's a reason he's organized, but he was really, really organized. So I love you guys. He put a lot of effort into this. So if you could turn back time and talk to your 18-year-old self, and that's not that far ago for you compared to me, what would you tell yourself?
Yeah. Love this question. You know, I think at 18, I was probably like a lot of folks, just the world's my oyster, you know, can do, there's so many things to do, but really have no idea what any of it really is or what's involved. You know, and I had just joined the military, and yeah, I think I didn't see the path and how it would all play out. You know, and had these kind of questions of, you know, maybe I should have gone to college here, or maybe I should listen to this person's advice on what career makes the most sense for me. But what I want, you know, my 18-year-old self to know is that all those experiences absolutely played a part in where I'm at now, and had, you know, just couldn't be who I am now and have whatever impact I'm having without that kind of circuitous journey.
Yeah. Do you want to give a little bit of a sort of elevator speech as to how you and got to where you're at Airbnb?
Sure. Yeah. And I love how this story can, you know, maybe help others out there that aren't kind of on the standard path for tech or trust and safety, because I did start in the military and didn't know what trust and safety was, didn't have any aspiration or thought that I would go into tech. But yeah, I ended up spending 9 years in military intelligence, doing a number of kind of different roles in operations, analysis. And little did I know how well that was going to prepare me to make the jump in terms of analyzing organizations, knowing how to operate in these diffuse matrix organizations, pushing the envelope on inductive reasoning and investigative skill. And then, you know, and then to go into consulting, which, you know, as people say, it doesn't close any doors and only kind of adds some skills. But yeah, then went from there to Airbnb, and didn't see until, you know, actually until maybe a year ago, that how the narrative weaving that together was this interest in, you know, investigative work and protective safety oriented work. That's kind of the really high level overview of how I got here.
Well, and like, I mean, when you were 15, Airbnb didn't even exist. And did trust and safety even actually exist as a career field? Yeah. I mean, I have young professional kids and I'm like, you might have a job at 35 that doesn't even exist right now. So I love how you've come to it and clearly excelled in trust and safety for sure.
It's a fun space. Yeah, it's really open to lots of different backgrounds. You know, you might feel like a zebra among the horses, but it's home to zebras too.
So along those lines, what advice would you give someone who wants to pursue a career in trust and safety or investigations? Because we get a lot of people on the podcast who want to know how to break into it.
Yeah. Well, first off, like anyone listening, you know, I'd love to meet you, get to know you. If I can, you know, help in any way, we'd love to do that. But I think generally speaking, there's kind of like, how do you get in the door? And then what do you do once you're in the door? You know, I think getting in the door is a lot about building a specific expertise that is needed in the industry. And, you know, in tech, we think about the specific roles that are needed, product managers, data scientists, you know, operations folks. I think for folks coming out of college and the younger folks, kind of your frontline specialist roles are great to just get your hands dirty in the meat of the work and see if it's for you. That's kind of your foot in the door. And then I think, you know, you should be open to really adding skills and pivoting within that, because you know, you might not want to do that forever. You know, I think a lot of folks kind of grow within that kind of role. And actually we have, I think really fascinating opportunities for investigators at Airbnb, at various levels, because we need people who have that quantitative and qualitative expertise that grows over time, you know. But, if you wanted then branch into product management or user design, engineering, I think availing of your company's learning resources, going back to school, are all great options to, you know, find that right kind of niche within the space if you really care about, you know, trust and safety on these various platforms.
Well, and like I said, Brian sent me notes and it's good. You said that like you took a data analytics course at Coursera.
Yeah.
And there's so many resources out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, and again, this is part of that circuitous journey. I studied public policy as well. And I frankly did not like my statistics courses. Econometrics. I mean, it's very interesting what you can do with social science research methods, but, you know, had no idea that given how adjacent everything is in trust and safety to machine learning models and the data science aspect, like knowing how to work with data, it's a way we manage the scale and drive good decision making. Having that kind of experience was really great.
Yeah. And you also have had some mentors along the way who have helped you and continue to help you. You know, it's sometimes people have a hard time getting mentors. Do you have any suggestions for that?
Yeah, I love that question, because I think mentorship can be a democratizing force in these kind of spaces where, you know, who you know does make a difference. I mean, I think first and foremost, it's knowing what the kind of the formal mentoring pathways are. You know, I think more, I would say formal in the sense that it's known, it's an established group. Like I think Kelly's group for women is great and encourage people to do that. For veterans, there's, you know, various different resources, you know, Veterati and others. So there's that part, but I think even taking a step back, you know, looking at your undergrad network, kind of your circles of influence and, you know, who you know, who's gone into the field and kind of starting there and then branching out is a good approach. But, you know, I think having value to add back to that person or kind of, you know, coming with your own research and perspectives in mind. So that you show that you are passionate about the space, you've started thinking about the issues, is also a great way to, you know, show whoever is mentoring you that you're kind of meeting them halfway on the journey.
Mentorship is not a one-way street.
And people that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's not. Because if you get someone who's a lot more senior, they may have been removed from some of the processes and you can help them. It's always a two-way street. When I get someone who wants me to mentor them, especially if they're new and young in their career, I love it because they're giving me a perspective that frankly, I've been removed from.
That's a great point.
What is one common myth, and I hate to listen just to one common myth about trust and safety that you personally want to debunk?
And I would actually love to know what all the myths are that are out there. You know, I think one that's always come to mind for me because it was all I sort of knew really before I started doing my own research and diving into the space was, you know, that it just comes down to these like reputation and star ratings between, for us, it's hosts and guests, you know, and other platforms, it's whoever those users are on the supply and demand side of that marketplace. And certainly that is, you know, a big aspect of, you know, trust on the platform, but it is so much more than that. And, you know, teams are so rigorous and so thoughtful about how to really build trust. So that I think that's just one myth to bear in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, we go online to pick places out and those star ratings or those reviews can really make you stay on Absolutely. The platform or go off the platform and go somewhere else. So.
Yeah, it is a big factor. And, you know, it's a really cool innovation that's happened over time that these ratings are available so that, you know, people can think of that data when they make a decision of what to do.
Yeah. I mean, I have guidelines when I go on Airbnb, what I'm looking for, you know, and and I can jump off if I see something. But then also, you know what, there's always, as my husband used to say, there's always one in a classroom or there's always one in an audience. So if you get like all of these amazing reviews and there's one person that is, you're like, I'm going to discount that. So, what's the biggest area related to your current role that you're really curious about that you kind of see yourself maybe going down that path?
I'm curious about so much right now, and it's been really fun in my career to be able to expand, you know, started out in what we call offline risk is, you know, safety enhancement, and then was able to be able to take on and support teams working in fraud, you know, monetary risk, platform abuse. So I think a recent area was really diving into how we think about those areas and, you know, shadowing team members, getting to know their work, talking to people in the field. And I mean, really, we have such talented investigators at Airbnb that do that work. I think beyond that, really interested in the content moderation space and, you know, some of the debates that are occurring, you know, nationally on, I mean, we're having this conversation as Elon Musk has just, you know, purchased Twitter. And certainly he has a point of view or hypotheses on what's possible in this domain of free speech and content moderation. You know, I mean, Airbnb is not a content first platform. We're a hospitality platform. And so, you know, these issues tend to percolate more in, you know, in Facebook, Meta, Twitter, and other platforms. But just seeing how decisions are made there has been really interesting.
Well, and this goes to social media in that, you know, you can get someone who doesn't have a great experience on a platform, and then they've got the bullhorn that, you know, on Twitter or on Meta, that bullhorn is pretty instantaneous.
Yeah. 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 I think we're, you know, in former President Obama just spoke at Stanford on, you know, his point of view of the role of the tech companies in adjudicating speech and how, you know, regulations maybe need to catch up with that. I think one of his points was the externality that's created is not, it's beyond the scale that I think folks anticipated at the beginning of these platforms genesis, to say the least. So,
well, I hope they didn't think about it when they started these platforms. Otherwise, we're in a world of hurt. And I love Twitter. I'm a huge Twitter fan, and I'm going to be patient with Elon. But lots of people know I'm not buying a Tesla anytime soon. So, So, what are some of the challenges you faced when you were starting out in this whole new world away from the military?
Yeah. You know, there were a few. I mean, I still work through challenges. You know, I'm still learning and trying to grow in how I deal with different situations and serve our customers. But I think definitely there's this aspect of the language and the lingo, the jargon that folks use. It's how authority and influence is wielded and, you know, how decisions are made. I think really on that point, it was just a learning curve of understanding how decisions get made, kind of what's that process of an idea going from inception to, you know, debate, building it out, creating a plan, prioritization, and then sign off. So for me as a leader, then it's about how do I help my team be at the right, you know, moment in that process to influence that roadmap or put our point of view forward to, you know, be a part of the decision making. I think then the use of data and the complexity of data given the size and scope of the business, you know, and how data is viewed in the tech field versus in the military, where the military is, you know, and I think it's probably changed a lot since I left, but, you know, needless to say, we weren't using advanced data visualization technologies. You know, we weren't using the most advanced tools to rapidly mine and make sense of data, just use data well. You know, let alone, you know, conversations around data quality and things like that. So, yeah, I think those have all been some big learnings and challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. I think of some of the movies I've seen in the past where they have like these amazing touch screens and they're dragging stuff. And it's like, that probably happens all the time in Airbnb, but like, you know, back in the day, that was like crazy, crazy. So now we met via LinkedIn, like, you know, I say met in air quotes, but, so you're very good at putting out content and following people on LinkedIn. Do you think that it's really helped you in your career?
That's a really interesting question. I mean, I think it has. I've gotten to know, you know, about different opportunities, groups. You know, I think about TSPA. I think about, you know, Risk Salon when that was around. And getting to know other people in the industry. I have actually been able to, you know, hear someone's name and that I should meet them and reach out to them on LinkedIn and then, you know, be able to have a conversation. That's happened a few times with a couple of really cool leaders in our space that, yeah, it wouldn't have happened without LinkedIn. And then, you know, being able to also connect with, you know, folks who are interested in coming to Airbnb and get to know them as well. It's been a powerful tool for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what are you most excited about now? And do you have a product or a service that you think is really going to help the listeners of Great Women in Fraud?
Well, I mean, I think Airbnb is a great product to help many people, you know, have a great place to stay, for whatever, or, you know, experience a new culture, or, you know, have a great experience. I'd say for me personally, I think, I do have a nascent blog, and I would like to be putting out more material. So, you know, keep in touch on that. Keep tuned, stay tuned, you know, writing about the trust and safety space, really about strategy around, you know, how I think different companies, you know, are active in the space, best practices. That blog is www.brianpwilliams.net. I think, you know, also thinking about Airbnb and what we've been doing lately, just super excited about the work we're doing around Ukraine. You know, having the initiative through our Airbnb.org, you know, nonprofit to house up to 100,000 refugees, funded through Airbnb Inc. with donors from the Airbnb.org Refugee Fund and the generosity of hosts, you know, really all coming together to make this possible, you know, working with nonprofit organizations on the ground who will directly coordinate these stays. I mean, just incredible impact that's possible there. And you know, a salute to our co-founders, our leadership for prioritizing this work around belonging. And that's our core mission, is to bring belonging, you know, to the world. I think also for me personally, you know, this is kind of been in the works, but I'm also making a jump here in the not too distant future to kind of continue my trust and safety journey. And we'll look forward to discussing that more, you know, on LinkedIn actually in coming weeks, but, you know, kind of around this content moderation space, and excited for that next part of the journey.
So, as my audience knows, I am a huge Kara Swisher Pivot Sway fan, and, I've been a big user of Airbnb. I think what they do is amazing. And I just had a friend whose son was relocating, and she's just like, he doesn't have an apartment yet. I guess I'm going to get him a motel. And I'm like, really? Like, why would you do that? Let's just do the Airbnb method. And she's like, I hadn't even thought of that. And it ended up working out really, really well. But I just love how things have changed. And Kara Swisher is a huge fan of Brian Chesky, like huge fan. And she's not a fan of a lot of tech CEOs. So I was excited that you agreed to come on the podcast, because I have used the product. I continue to use the product. And when Kara Swisher says a CEO is a good guy and has had him interviewed, it means a lot to me. So it definitely means a lot to me.
Well, so a couple of cool things there. First, I mean, we love that Airbnb is a verb. Now, if you're saying that we're now a method, I mean, you heard it first here. So we're also a method, you know, for temporary living. And we love how people are living anywhere on Airbnb and, you know, working from Airbnbs. And I mean, it's providing this kind of freedom of movement and connection into new cultures that's super unique. Also, just a shout out to one of my teams, you know, that I had the honor of leading during my tenure at Airbnb, but It was such a cool moment after the work that we did around January 6th when Brian Chesky, our CEO, came on and Kara Swisher interviewed him. And he actually, you know, mentioned our team by name, the user knowledge operations team, and kind of the really cool mix of talent that we have on the team and the work they did. So it was really satisfying for all of us involved in that effort when, you know, Brian talked about our team and, you know, did that with Kara Swisher on that, you know, New York Times podcast article.
Yeah. It's huge, huge kudos. So what haven't I asked you that you want to get out to the audience?
You've asked like amazing questions. I think maybe a few more things on kind of resources, how to view coming into the space, you know, with an eye towards my, you know, fellow veterans and all the folks kind of coming out of public service roles, whether that's diplomacy, law enforcement, you know, all these different avenues. But yeah, I think it can be, you know, daunting to think about how to come into space. I'll just add a few more thoughts there. You know, I think for me, the time in consulting was really valuable, just from knowing how to not just operate in the business space, but kind of frame and solve problems and communicate rapidly, efficiently, and well was really key. And, you know, I think beyond that, you know, there's so many great resources now. You know, the book I mentioned, Rise, Practice of Adaptive Leadership, Rebels at Work, Drive. I mean, really great books are out there. And I'm just starting to walk down this path of reading some great product management books that I would love to share with folks as well, if anyone wants to ping me. And I think availing of some of the product management online resources and those data science resources is so critical. You know, using data well is incredibly important in tech and in trust and safety, because, you know, how we measure these different areas is challenging. And, you know, being able to bring thought leadership on that into the space is really then a differentiator, you know, for anyone's candidacy at any given company. So that, you know, just a few other thoughts to add there.
Well, and we said a little bit about this before we started recording, because I got to reach out to Rob Chestnut of his book, Intentional Integrity. And I asked Brian if Brian knew Rob, who used to be the chief ethics officer at Airbnb, and he did. And we both kind of laughed about the fact that Rob is, he makes it so simple that you can't mess up, can you?
Well, I mean, and I think that thinking about Rob too is it's a great reminder about the work of trust and safety and how it does take a particular, I think, type of person, you know, in fraud and more broadly. Like you need to have strong character, and you have to be mission driven, I think, in a unique way, because you're dealing with these tough issues. You know, it's fraud and abuse of the platform, you know, preventing that from happening. And so, you know, character, integrity, you know, those are just non-negotiables. And that's actually, I think, another sort of value that our folks coming out of military, diplomacy, you know, protective services, like all these kind of safety-oriented roles kind of bring to the table that, you know, shouldn't be taken for granted.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was the last thing you Googled before you got on the podcast?
Well, I haven't Googled much today because, you know, been on a few Zoom calls, and I was actually taking some time, you know, to just read and kind of do some just personal upskilling time today. So I did read a bit of the book Drive by Dan Pink. Yeah, just can't say enough about kind of his perspective on motivation 3.0 and knowledge work. And another one of these books I wish I read 10 years ago about how to frame the work we do in the open-ended world of trust, safety, and technology. So that was something, you know, thankful to be able to do before coming online with you today.
Well, and this is so funny because I've had numerous people on the podcast, and I say that I channel Pink, like they show up with a Pink Hydra flask. And then I did not say anything. I love Daniel Pink, and I have his new book, The of Regrets. And and I'm like, I liked Daniel Pink even before I became the pink collar crime lady. So I guess I channeled it before, but his work is great. And you know what? That's another thing that, like, on LinkedIn and on the platform, we are sharing resources that maybe we wouldn't get. I'm getting ready to do a post on LinkedIn about my 20,000 steps to my own PhD, because that's podcast time. I can't remember any professor really I had in college. And I consider that I'm going to school every day when I listen to a podcast. Yeah. I think so. Well, Brian, thank you so much for being on the show. And I look forward to your next chapter, and we will keep in touch.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Kelly. Thank you.